Hello, Dead Time Storians. As you'll soon discover, today's episode is a bit different than normal, and that's because I have some super exciting news that I cannot wait to share with you. So we at A Little Bit Fast Now Productions have been hard at work for the past several months putting together a plethora of new shows. And starting next Wednesday, December 7th, we will be dropping episodes of four brand new series every week in addition to the original Dead Time stories. So to help you get to know what your next four favorite shows are, I'm here to give you a little preview. Think of it like back in the 60s and 70s when network television proudly unveiled their fall lineup during the summer. Yeah, I'm actually secretly 85 years old, but we already knew this. So up first is a comedy series created and hosted by two of my good friends and voice actors that listeners have gotten to know and love, Jordan Ketcher and Ryan Pigg. Have you ever wondered what happened to serial killers after they died? I mean, we all know that they went to hell, but what the hell, pun intended, are they actually doing down there? Well, Ryan Rivers and Jordan Jameson, two former reporters who died and found themselves in hell, are eager to interview and roast the shit out of those malicious murderers. What better way for them to introduce their new series, The Aftermath, than with the alleged son of God, Charles Manson?
Congratulations, Charles.
Thank you, Phyllis.
You know, Charles, now that you're properly roasted, thank you so much for coming out. How the heck are you?
I am in heaven. Friends, you know, it's really good to be here today. Thank you so much for having me.
You're actually in hell, Charles.
It's the opposite.
Oh, no. I am not. This is heaven. This is my heaven.
Well, that's certainly interesting.
It is.
Well, I hate to tell this to you, but you are in hell. In fact, I hate to dive right in with hard hitters right off the bat, but you famously hated cops, calling them pigs. Does it make you uncomfortable how many cops are down here in hell with you, Charles?
It does not, because these are my little piggies, right? And
yes.
I like pork. So in heaven, there is a lot of ham. You know?
I see. So you can never go hungry again, knowing that you can just slice open one of those cops and eat them with a fork.
That's such an incredible point of view. That's incredible. Mm. That's great. You know, that actually leads us to a segment called Hell of a Surprise. Charles, what was the person, place, or thing that surprised you most when you got to hell?
Well, as soon as I got here, I ran into Sharon Tate.
That must have been awkward.
Ran into Sharon Tate. That's incredible.
Did she have anything to say to you?
Nope.
Oh, that probably makes sense.
All right, well, we're going to play a few games with you here, Charles. Charles, do you like games?
I love games. I love to play games.
Ah, good. Charles, you've said a lot of wild stuff in your lifetime. Let's see if you can remember lines from the first game, Who Said It? Charles Edition. We'll read you quotes that were either something you, Charles Manson, said yourself, or Charles Dickens said. Ah, you have to tell us who said it.
I love Charles Dickens.
Yes, well, hopefully you get this right. So the first one, let's see if you're ready. Have
ready.
A heart. Okay, in quotes. Have a heart that never hardens, and a temper that never tires, and a touch that never hurts. Who said it?
Well, I, as a man who likes whiskey, would never mistake another person's words for my own. So I do believe that was me.
You are wrong. It was Charles Dickens.
Oh,
close.
Charles,
but no cigar.
Manson. Charles Manson.
Dickens.
Manson.
You are a dick.
In addition to roasting killers, Ryan and Jordan ask those burning pop culture questions to get a killer's thoughts on things like House of the Dragon or the latest Kardashian drama. Plus, we always make time for charades. Check out the full Charles Manson episode of The Aftermath streaming next week. The link will be in this week and next week's episode description of the original Dead Time stories. Now, if you're not getting high enough off that comedy, I have great news for you. We have another comedy series created by Daniel Fastenow Jones. Serial Killers answers what happens when you give the average citizen some weed and ask them about true crime. Just in case those munchies kick in, we give our guests some cereal to quench their appetite. I'll give you a moment to catch on to that pun in our title, while we listen to Ryan Pigg tell us about the crime that started the original Dead Time stories. The Death of Fanny Adams.
Fanny Adams was 8 years old, but everyone said she looked older, so like 10, I don't know. And it was United Kingdom. I won't assume where, but I can only do a British accent and it's okay. So we're gonna say somewhere over there. I'm pretty sure it was Lake Tahoe, but I don't think they have one over there, so Tahoe Lane? I'm close. And so Fanny wanted to play outside with her sister and friend. I'm doing pretty good so far.
No.
Okay. Fanny Adams was 8 years old, playing with her friend and sister, when this one guy they know from church approaches them. And his name is Frederick. Starts with a B. Bane? No. Bagoo. Mr. Bagoo. I don't know. We're going to call him Fred. So Fred approaches, and he sees her with her friend and sister. And this guy went to church with them, and they're like, we can trust you, because you can always trust someone you see at church. And so they were like, hey, what do you need? We're going to hang out with you. What do you want? And he's like, well, I will give you, what do you say? I will give you a pence, a half, like, pence, something like that. It's money to go get candy. And these little girls are super thrilled. They're like, we love candy. How did you know? And so he gives them money. He's like, Fanny, you stay with me. Hold on. Let me see if I can... Matt Berry. There go. You're gonna stay. Oh, it's Michael Caine. I'm so sorry, everybody. Okay, let's rewind. Fanny Adams was getting kidnapped by this guy. And the police are like, we don't know where she went. And the little girls are like, it was that guy from church. And the guy from church is like, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no proof. You can't prove that Rachel McAdams was kidnapped by yours truly. And that's when the police started searching his whole place.
Serial Killers drops next week, and I should take this time to mention that this show was created and filmed in California, where marijuana is legal. Please be responsible while listening. After the break, we'll be introducing our next two shows. Stick around! True crime is, of course, a very serious topic, and we mean no disrespect to anyone by putting a bit of comedy into these shows. So to keep things on a more serious side, we have Cocktail Ballerina, created and hosted by the wonderful Keila Young. Now, Keila came to me with a very serious reminder that crimes against sex workers often slip through the cracks. People don't seem to care about someone murdered or robbed who works in that industry. So Keila, our cocktail ballerina, teaches us about crimes against sex workers and how y'all can protect yourself out there, whether you're in the industry or not. Everyone can learn a valuable lesson from her stories.
First on today's menu, the definition of sex work. Now, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a person who is involved in sex work is involved in sexually explicit behavior, especially prostitute. The synonyms are bald, call girl, coquette, courtesan, drop, hooker, hustler, prostitute, streetwalker, tart, whore, da 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 da. But according to my definition, girl, Miriam, that's cute, but I'll tell you what it really is. To me, the definition of sex work is a hustler. You ain't have no choice by what your environment showed you growing up, how you were treated in society, and where you come from. So sometimes you have to do what you gotta do in order to make money, to bring yourself to survive in society, and to also help your family. Okay, let me give y'all guys a sip or a taste into what I think sex work is and how I started. I started in the year 2003. I was a young 18-year-old girl, just graduated high school maybe 9 months before. I was working at retail. I had two jobs, and I was working at a movie theater. And the money just wasn't happening for me. I needed my own apartment. I needed a car. And I needed to help my mother out with her kids as well. Plus, I wanted to go shopping. Being a young girl in Detroit, everybody had the Cartier glasses. Those are going at least $1,000 a pop. I also wanted to have the Gigi Hunter silk dress. I wanted to have the gator shoes, the fur coats. I wanted to have the best hairstylist, the best nails, the best car and apartment. So that was one of the reasons, multi-reasons, why I began my life as a sex worker. I want to bring these stories forefront about sex work because no one respects sex workers. You know, a lot of people in politics, a lot of people in entertainment. I mean, you got to look at a lot of rappers. There's a big rapper right now. She broadcasts that she used to dance. She started out on social media, and I'm proud of her because I'm like, damn, we couldn't do that when I started. You feel me? So now that I see people respect her, then I think that's really a pivotal moment in society. Not just being accepted in society as a sex worker, but also you gotta respect us. You gotta look at us as human beings, because at the end of the day, we could have been your mother. We could have been your auntie. We could have been your sister, cousin. You don't know how we got this money. You don't know how we feed our families. You just know it's done, and we never throw it in your face. But some people turn around and bash sex workers when the person taking care of you is a sex worker. So I just wanted to bring that to the forefront of some of the stories that happen. The sacrifices of what these people go through, of what we go through.
Last but certainly not least, you know, I always hated when people said that growing up, and now here I am saying it. Ugh. Last but certainly not least, we have a super fun show that you at home can play along with. True Crime, False Crime Answers. You know what? Jordan Catcher does such a great job explaining the concept, I'll let him introduce it for you.
Welcome to True Crime or False Crime. I am your host, Jordan Catcher, and I'm here to ask our contestants a question as old as the premise for this show. Was that a true crime or a false crime? I'm here with this week's contestant, Kirk Novak. Welcome, Kirk. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me.
That is good in spite of the heat. I'm glad that you're fantastic.
The heat is miserable, but otherwise I am fantastic.
Well, I appreciate you coming in for questioning. Shortly, I will offer you prompts about crimes and criminals in varying styles that either contain true, real-life facts or purely fabricated phoniness. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Great. And it's up to you to get to the bottom of what's what. Here's how the game works. Odd number prompts. They're going to be true crime or false crime. And this means that I'll tell you about a crime, and you'll answer with true crime or false crime. Correct answers to those questions will get you 1 point. And then even-numbered prompts will be 5 different types of prompts, which we'll explain as we go through the game. And those can only be played once per game. You get to choose what order they're played in. And all of those will get you 2 points if you answer them correctly. You with me?
I am with you.
Fantastic. And then our final prompt of the game, the 11th question is always last meal, which is where I will tell you about a death row inmate's final meal. Is it genuine or just a sham? Correct answers to the final question can get you 5 points.
Wow. Okay.
If you get everything right, you can walk away with 20 points and earn a spot on our leaderboard. The top 3 point earners at the end of the season will compete in a head-to-head showdown of real or fake proportions.
I love it.
Are you ready to roll?
I am ready to roll.
All right, let's play some true crime, false crime. First card. In 1963, 2.3 million pounds, 40 million pounds today, was stolen from a post office train in England by a 15-member gang without using a single gun. The group interfered with the signals on the railroad tracks and stopped a Royal Mail night train from Glasgow to London that was carrying mail packages and substantial sums of money. Without playing a game of Monopoly in a barn with all the stolen money and leaving their fingerprints all over the place, they would not have been discovered. Is that a true crime or a false crime?
It sounds like the Great Train Robbery, so we're going to go with true crime.
That is a true crime. Fantastic work. And we've got one on the board. If somebody could be keeping track of points, that would be the most ideal thing possible.
I've got it up here.
So that was our first question. Now on to our second question. You get to choose what kind of prompt you get. We have person of interest, it's the law, reverse round, have you seen that doc, and sentenced. What's your pick?
Let's go in order. Let's go with person of interest.
All right, so the way person of interest works, I read you the name of a criminal and the crime that they committed. They may be true, they may be fake.
Okay.
Person of interest, this is worth 2 points. Miles Walker, fleeing to a foreign country.
False.
Correct, that is false.
Nice.
That is a false person of interest. On to our third question. True crime, false crime. In 1922, a disgruntled fairgoer shot a pistol at then Vice President Calvin Coolidge while he was giving a speech at the Iowa State Fair. The bullet went straight through Coolidge's left shoulder blade. Coolidge leapt from the stage, tackled the shooter to the ground, and knocked him unconscious with a single punch. Coolidge then made a full recovery in the Sacred Heart Hospital in Des Moines.
I want that to be true. It's a true crime.
So, will Kirk Novak go on to land a spot on the leaderboard? Tune in next week when True Crime False Crime drops its very first episode. Again, all of these shows will have links in the episode description, or you can search The Aftermath, Serial Killers, like The Breakfast Food and Killers with a Z, Cocktail Ballerina, and True Crime False Crime on your favorite podcasting app. The Aftermath, Serial Killers, and True Crime False Crime will also be available on YouTube, and trust me, viewing them is just as amazing as listening. We can't wait for you to join us. Of course, we will also be dropping a brand new episode of the original Dead Time Stories next week, but until then, stay safe out there. I don't want you to become the next chapter's topic on the original Dead Time Stories, The Aftermath, Serial Killers, Cocktail Ballerina, or True Crime False Crime. This was a Little Bit Fast and Now production.